Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's time for a special edition talk show here on KAJO Radio. We will take your phone calls later, probably after the top of the hour, but keep your ears close here. We could open that early depending on what's going on. We also have our Lifer text line available. That's 541-472-1278. That's the same number if you want to call in. When you're calling in, when you hear the sound of the radio coming back through your phone, that means that you're next in queue. And as soon as we complete the thought that we're on, we'll put you on the air live. Right now, I want to welcome to the studios of KAJO Radio, Simon Hare. Simon, welcome.
Hey, good morning, Chuck. It's been a while.
It has been a while. Last time you were here, you were sitting, I think it was about the last day that you were a sitting county commissioner.
Yeah.
Finishing up your second term as county commissioner.
Right.
We just want to give a little history here. And during that time, I can recall you sitting probably in the chair next to you right after handing out like 200 pink slips when the county hit a dire fiscal situation, and I know that physically moved you.
Yeah, it was quite a few. It was probably one of the darkest days in office over the eight-year time span I was in.
All right. Now, let's move ahead a little bit, and you just resigned as a budget officer for the county, which you hadn't been in very, very long. And tell us about that situation. First of all, when were you approached to be budget officer and by whom?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm not sure that I remember exactly how the details came together, but I know that Sandy Novak, the previous finance and HR manager, she had resigned or took a voluntary resignation plan that she didn't really support, and then ended up looking at, you know, a $70,000 check that she couldn't pass up and moving closer to her kids on the East Coast. And Sandy and I worked together for years when I was on the board, and she was in the finance office as the auditor under Arthur O'Hare, great finance manager that we had there. And she took that place, and then, you know, this board right now had this kind of pretty ill-conceived voluntary resignation plan that mirrors the federal government. Federal government has the discretion to have, you know, USAID programs that they can just pretty much not do anymore. Most of the things at the county are you mandated? You know, we're at like what we call service level one. I don't even know if they talk about that anymore, but it was the mandated services that we have. So when you have a voluntary resignation program rolled out for vital people like a finance manager or an HR manager, you're going to have to replace them eventually. And so the cost savings is really not, I don't see the math working out on that one. They're going to have to backfill it with general funds eventually, because their employee reserve fund is where they went to for that. It had about $650,000 in it. Now it's pretty much zeroed out because it cost the county about that much for all those programs.
So you took the job as budget officer.
Yeah, they reached out to me.
About 6 weeks ago.
Yeah, it could have been. Yeah. Sandy said that there's probably nobody, she said, you know, in the county who could probably step in such a short notice. I'd been following the budget even though I'd been retired, you know, for the last 6 years plus. Just never really weighed in, just kind of watched it to see what they were doing. And so I was ready to go, you know. I told them I think I could come up to speed, you know, in 24, 48 hours on where the budget was in the existing current year, and then try to start putting things together in place and calendars and populating the budget committee and different things, and move the whole system forward.
Right. Exactly. What did you find there? What did you find in the budget here?
Oh, well, I think what precipitated the resignation letter was this on a Wednesday, about 2.5 weeks after the deadline for when budgets were due to me.
Right. Now, you resigned what, on the 22nd of this month or of April?
Sure. Yeah, I'm surprised if I'd know this was Thursday now. Once I'm done, I'm kind of done. So you'll have to know the timeline a little bit better than I will. But Michael Sellers and I and Ruth Nelson, the finance manager, we all met in the board's conference room. That's where I was first given the documents that had Mr. Sellers listed as interim operations manager. He was listed on all of the ISF budgets that I saw other than legal. IT had a percentage of his salary and benefit package. Finance, HR, and the board's office that totaled to a whopping number of $388,000 for his total package and compensation, and then the salary of $254,000. I didn't really even like digest it on that first meeting. I didn't come into the office on Thursday. And when I came in on Friday, my expectation was to sit down with the chair, Andreas Black, who'd been delegated the authority by the other two elected members of the board. Andreas had obviously been appointed to fill John West's seat. And given the most unilateral power I've ever seen delegated to any member of the board in the history I've seen, and to hire and fire and do administrative things on behalf of the board, it's certainly efficient, but it sure skirts the element of transparency when the decision is made. It needs to be done by at least two members of the board. All of those deliberations should be done in public unless there's special provisions for executive session. And so Andreas has had a lot of authority to do a lot. And so when I got handed those from Michael Sellers, who was operating in that operations manager position and actually signing even termination letters with that title, which is kind of odd. I heard on the Bill Meyer show that he had referenced that as a functional title. I don't know if they can provide an example of another functional title that we've ever handed out to somebody. I certainly can't think of one. When we've had operations manager in the past, that was Marie Hill back in the 2000s. And then we had Rosemary Padgett as our chief financial officer. Other than that, there is no provision in the county for functional titles. Everything he was doing could have been done under a finance manager or director, an HR manager or director. And so that was kind of an odd phraseology.
Right. Let's deal with his compensation here, first of all. You said that what you saw totaled out to $388,000, and he did appear in the Bill Meyer show via telephone and evidently had produced his pay stub, which showed about $172,000, I believe.
Okay.
Which would make his total compensation in the $240,000 to $256,000 range, mm-hmm. Counting all of his benefits, health, and pension, and those sorts of things. How does that square with the $388,000 that you saw?
Well, it doesn't. And honestly, we probably wouldn't be having this conversation had that been accurate or at least presented to me as what he was going to be paid in future budget years in that interim operations position. So when I sat down with Andreas that Friday, why didn't Andreas just tell me, well, oh, that number's wrong. Forgive me. We shouldn't have put that in there. We're going to fix that. He's only being compensated at 172. That's in an interim position. It's not going to be part of the budget for the future year. None of that was disclosed, or honestly, Chuck, we wouldn't be talking here today, because 172 is roughly what our highest manager, Scott Hyde, is being compensated at right now. It's a little high, but it's not out of the comps or norms, clearly. So we wouldn't be discussing this right now if Andreas would have told myself and John West. The reason I brought John West with me is because I was looking for potentially the most influential voice that was reasonable, that could have been presented to Andreas as, like, it's not just my opinion, Andreas. It's you know, John West's and everyone else. Like, nobody's going to think that this $254 as a salary for a guy who's never done this job before, didn't go through a transparent process of recruitment, like a Yamhill.
And that's comparatively high to other regions.
It's 50 grand higher than our highest comparative county, Yamhill County. Ken up there in Yamhill, he's been the total administrator for Yamhill County for at least 7 years. I think he was the deputy before then. So he's got tremendous amount of experience. He's compensated at a $203,000 salary, and it's probably $300 total compensation package or whatever it is, $300,000 call. I don't understand how, you know, like, Mr. Sellers can be getting paid 50 grand more and had never done that kind of a position before. And so I brought this to Andreas's attention and was really looking for, you know, a reasonable response of, oh, I didn't know. Or I said, how did you arrive at a 254? You know, these are supposed to be negotiated. Maybe even with an HR person, how we've always done it in the room that isn't Michael Sellers. That didn't happen. And he said they had a conversation. They got to that number, which, like I said, there are no comps for that, Andreas. So what was the argument? What was the conversation? And he said, well, it was just a conversation. I said, well, you know, I think John asked, is there a contract for this? And Andreas said, no, there isn't a contract. And then one of us asked, you know, are you working on one? Is one in the works? And he said, yes, We're using our outside attorney. I've heard it speculated by the board that they would have had to gone through Wally for that. Show me in the charter or a policy manual that says that they have to do that. They've outsourced legal negotiations on HR issues to an outside third-party law firm. They don't have to go through Wally. Wally is not... This is probably the most complicated part of this whole conversation, because we are the only county in the entire nation with an elected legal counsel. And I don't want to get off on that subject. But that connection between the board and Wally is by convenience. It's Wally doesn't have to be their legal counsel. And a lot of people don't understand that nuance. And you really don't until you're in that board position. But I can speak to that on a whole nother.
Last Monday in the workshop, they dealt with that a little bit, and Andreas absolutely denied that there was any other contract negotiations going on outside of the county. Absolutely denied it, and there's a...
Well, then in that situation, it's just John and my word against Andreas. Unless they're willing to open up, you know, discovery to the attorney-client privilege, if we were able to reach out to that law firm and say, can you disclose all of the, because they're going to have them, they're going to have a record of any communication between the board, Andreas, and that law firm. I'd love to see that communication, or make it available to not even me, maybe the DA or somebody else. If they did that and there was nothing, then all we have is that Andreas didn't tell John West and I the truth in that meeting on Friday. As somebody had also mentioned something about that, why was John West at the courthouse in a meeting with Andreas Bleck and myself? It wasn't at the courthouse. It was at the boardroom, and it was at 4 o'clock, and there was no one else around. It was just Andreas, John, and I. All I was trying to do is get this settled, like, before it got to be a problem. I think I mentioned in that meeting, my objective, Andreas, he's like, what do you want? I said, I don't want there to be a contract. I never want there to be a contract. I want you to be doing this in a transparent way, and I don't want you to be compensating Michael Sellers at $254,000 a year. That's what I'm looking for. And you have to do this. You will do this eventually. I told him that. I'm not threatening you. I'm just saying the public is not going to stand for this. So once this gets out, which it will eventually, you have to have this in transparent fashion. I told him, I said, all of the documents that I have right here, they're all public. They're a Schedule D. They're included in every budget we've ever had. And Michael Sellers was in that meeting with Ruth Nelson. He said, and I'm not sure that we want the Schedule Ds in the budget this year. And I thought that was kind of an odd statement, but I didn't really, it's like, okay, we'll accomplish getting those numbers out some other way. We have to, if we don't publish the Schedule Ds, but we didn't really settle on that one, but it was an odd suggestion, I thought.
We promoted this program by asking the question, have the commissioners gone rogue, or are they just facing a dire financial situation? Which is it?
Well, hopefully there's more than those two choices, because, I would have to say that they don't really know, by evidence of what Ron Smith was saying on the radio yesterday. He doesn't know the budget process. I've been through it 8 times. I have been shortly retained as a budget officer. I'm fairly familiar with it. I don't know if it's a combination of both their ignorance, the lack of humility I kind of see. And I have that problem too. I'll be perfectly honest. Sometimes I don't, I'm not. And I don't want to say they've gone rogue, but what they are doing is just like, it doesn't feel like it's in the best interest of the public. And so I don't know what their ultimate goal and agenda was, but I'm pretty sure that it took something, I know it took something like this in order to disrupt it, but for having brought this to the public's attention in the way I did, I'm 100% confident. I mean, look at how much outcry it took for them to take their power back, guarantee us there is no contract, there never will be a contract, that these things are going to be done in a transparent fashion moving forward. And I mean, look what it took. And I think that there were some behind scenes negotiations with leadership in the Republican Party at the very top that said, look, guys, you do these things or we're going to recall you. Like, it's outrageous that we have elected people delegating all of their authority to somebody who wasn't elected, two people who weren't elected, Michael Sellers and Andreas Bleck, with no real thought that that was wrong. That's the disconnect for me.
Let's put a couple of facts out here. First of all, last Monday during a workshop for the county commissioners, they did take the power back and distribute it throughout the board. So all three will be voting on everything right now. That's no longer solely in the hands of Commissioner Blatt. So that was stated. Also, it was stated that Michael Sellers is now back in his original situation as IT director, and there's one other small title there, I believe.
Emergency Services Manager,
correct. Yeah. Have they backstepped right now? Is that a result of what you have done so far? Is this a correct move for them, do you anticipate more from them?
I hope so, because I think the transparency element will make, there'll be room for more improvements there, but no, absolutely. It's not me. It was the public providing pressure to them to say what he's asking for is probably an appropriate thing. And you're not paying somebody that outrageous salary. If they chose to, even if they wanted to, there's more to say there's nothing wrong with that if they did it the right way. Like they made it transparent. They solicited applications for that operations manager position. They reviewed resumes. They put together a committee of people, potentially other than themselves, like we've always done for managers, and made that process a lot more transparent and let the chips fall where they may. If they say, we're going to pay somebody $250,000 for this position, that it's going to save us so much. But they didn't do it that way.
Do you see them moving right now towards an operations manager, essentially a
manager? I don't think so now, no. I think that's what's sad is that's getting wrapped up in this thing. Some of our best times, I could not have done what was done, like you referenced at the beginning of the hour, in 2012 and 13 without Rosemary Padgett, our chief financial officer. And that is a skill set that is not something that Ruth Nelson, the finance manager, who is eminently qualified in her position right now. It's a different style of person. I'm not saying Michael is or isn't that. I think by expression of what happened in the last little bit, he's probably not the right candidate for that position. But I'm not saying that something, not a county manager who oversees all this staff, but a coach to the board and the managers at the county, isn't necessary. They're making a lot of mistakes, and they don't have to. If they just had somebody giving them good advice on a regular basis with how to run a county.
In your opinion, how dire is the fiscal situation for the county right now?
Well, it's not. I hear what Herman and others have said. Bill Meyer said, we really only can afford half the staff. No, the county doesn't have an ability to issue debt or go into any kind of a non-funded fiscal situation that isn't fairly.
They must
have a balanced budget.
Yes.
And so that's just not true. We've in the proposed budget that I was putting the final touches on, we actually were putting $1 million in addition to our $8 million in reserve, and then $1 million for future expenditure. And so you can't say that those are as a result of good fiscal decisions being made over the past, but we're not in that dire situation. And Michael Sellers referencing the idea that we needed to be doing these things so that we were nimble and able to address future changes. We addressed changes just fine in 2012 and 13 with staffing levels, and there wasn't the big precursor to losing Secure Rural Schools in that funding in that year. It's like, no, when there's no funding, you can do it on a Tuesday. There's not a need for this big change in a system structure to facilitate future funding changes. The real work is to save up and not live outside of your means in the first place. Like, don't be doing a bunch of things that you shouldn't be doing that are outside the purview and don't have sustainable funding.
So in your opinion, the mass reorganization was not justified, the restructuring of county government and the way that it works with the people?
Well, I'm not sure what the big restructure is without a Michael Sellers type of a position. You're going to need an HR manager. You're going to need a finance manager. You're going to need a public works director, and getting rid of Jim Goodwin's position.
Oh my goodness.
Is funded by a levy. Like, there's two more years of funding in the proposed budget for it. Yeah, there's a potential.
Let's put a footnote in here. Jim Goodwin's situation at juvenile justice made that juvenile justice system the ideal statewide. So, and
it's a model. Like, it's the thing.
That's what people are copying
nationwide.
Yes.
That people want. I'm not saying that Jim's performances, the director was always perfect. I learned some things after he had left working with the new director, Scott Hyde, and Scott's eminently qualified to probably do both. But there's always room for improvement. That doesn't mean that Jim couldn't have been coached into that improvement. And I don't really see the huge cost savings associated with it. It's decimal dust in the grand scheme of things, and who knows how much institutional knowledge we lost the second that he's not just Jim Goodwin. He was like the deputy under his predecessor I'm forgetting that the gentleman's name. He created that structure. Like, he sold that vision, and now everybody wants to copy it. And what you did is you got rid of the person who had that institutional knowledge. And I think they're going to experience a gap there in that when it comes to push comes to shove. I told Scott Hyden, I think he's going to do a great job. But I said, you no longer have just one child. You have two, and you need to fight for them equally. If I ever hear that the juvenile shelter detention facility is not as equal of a priority as corrections, that'll be a real problem, because our community needs to take care of those kids. Sometimes they're kids in bad situations. And then there are kids that need to be kind of put on the straight and narrow in that detention facility. And it's got great, great statistical results. Plus, it's taking care of our most vulnerable, which is really important.
Now, you alluded to some of the people who are no longer with the county. Kind of a bloodletting there. Some of the top people, were they trying to get rid of top salaries or top people or adversaries, in your opinion?
Well, it's hard to say. I think that there was some fiscal shortcomings in the public health leadership and stuff. We definitely are experiencing close to $500,000 fiscal shortfall, and it's a multi-year problem. And I really wanted to work with the director, Weber, on getting that solved, but it just felt like quicksand. We'd go over here, and it never really got solidified or solved. I think there was some administrative challenges with the performance of the director for planning community development. I'm not aware of the shortcomings in either fiscal situation or administration in Rob Brandis's as the public works director. That seemed really weird from a standpoint that the guy had been here for 29 years and 5 months. He's 6 months out from his 30-year retirement. Like, you pull a rug out from under the guy at the 99th yard line? It's just... And the board isn't doing staff reviews. Like, even the previous board, in our charter, it says that there needs to be annual reviews of all these managers. They haven't done them in years. Like, what's your backstop? Where's the file that says that Rob Brandis's performance as public works director is less than par? It feels like lazy government, and they're not doing the work, or they're not soliciting good advice and coaching to get them where they, I mean, that's fine if that's where you want to be. Do it the right way.
All right, let me see. Quick question here, because we're getting close to the top of the hour and we need to take a break. As budget director, did you sign a contract?
Yes.
Okay. Did you fulfill that contract?
I certainly tried, and I'd still be there today, and I'd go back and do it. I really would. I'd step back into that position. I guess they fired me a couple of days after I resigned.
After you resigned.
I felt like no choice to resign, and I haven't really... retained. I don't like lawyers and lawsuits and silly stuff, whatever the board is proposing to do. That would be the last thing that I would want to engage with. And so I think they're going down a dead end road with that whole objective of holding to some account. I'm ready to do it. If they ask me to come back today, I would. I have no problem. This is not a personal issue with Ron Smith, Chris Barnett, or Andreas Black, or Michael Sellers. I want what's best for the county. And I'm also publicly, I've always been, I'm willing to do whatever it takes to do that. I had some personal challenges back in the day. They weren't something I've ever dealt with before or since. It was a direct reflection of the amount of stress and how serious I took the job. Did I deal with it poorly? 100%. Possibly the worst possible way one could. And I've fixed that. You know, I've got a big faith component of my life now. I wouldn't say I've turned everything around, but man, I'm a work in progress, and I'm happy to be here still working on it. But I am 100% passionate about what's good for Josephine County.
Well, welcome back with us sinners.
Right?
Yeah. Okay.
All have fallen short. So it's
still a question. Have you been paid for that work?
Yes, I have.
You have been paid.
Yes. They structured the contract to where it was a lump sum up front. I did recommend to sign an NDA, and that was never provided to me. I don't know that I would have abided by it.
Non-disclosure agreement.
Yes. I don't know that I would have abided by it even in this situation. I feel like my sworn oath that I did twice transcends that element of, like, I'm taking care of the county citizens and the taxpayer from a standpoint that I didn't want them obligated for a multi-year, potentially very costly lawsuit if they did retain Mr. Sellers. That was a real fear of mine and John West's.
All right. We're out of time for the first half hour. Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to continue with this right up until about 10:30 this morning. Our special guest today is Simon Hare.
Devin here from...
The forecast for Grants Pass and surrounding areas today. Sunny skies today with a high near 87 and an afternoon breeze. Should be clear tonight, low around 47 with an evening breeze. Increasing clouds on Friday with a high near 77. Chance of rain early, partly sunny. High should be near 58 on Sunday. Sunny skies with a high near 64. Yesterday's high 80. The overnight low 41. Sunset this evening will be at 8:13. We'll reappear tomorrow morning at 6:05. It's a burn day. Rogue River level this morning, 3.2 feet, falling slowly, flowing at 3,670 cubic feet a second with a nephelometric turbidity unit reading of 3 and a water temperature of 57. 58 degrees here at the studios of KAJO under partly sunny skies here at our studios, brought to you by our good friends at Cartwright's Market. Now, we continue with a special edition talk show here. Once again, the number to call is 541-472-1270 if you have a special question or comment for our guest, Simon, here today. KAJO Lifer text line is always open. Both numbers, the number for both of those is 541-472-1270. And once you hear the sound of the radio coming back to your phone, that means we'll put you back on the air live and let you air your question or comment live to our guest today. In the meantime, I want to continue with Simon this morning. Just before the break, Simon, we were talking about you were compensated for your work as budget officer.
Mm-hmm.
Then I believe it was last Monday during the
workshop.
During the workshop, they were talking about. And they didn't name you specifically, but talking about a contractor, and they were talking about recouping that money because mm-hmm. the contract wasn't fulfilled. Any comment?
I'd love to fulfill the contract if they, you know, like they did what I was finally asking them to do. And so, yeah, I work for the taxpayer in a contractual basis like that. I'd love to go back and do it. I'm super sad about not being able to go through the whole process. It's just a different, I'm not a normal person. I love that stuff. Like, just who looks at the budget when they're not, you know, on the board anymore or whatever. I followed it, you know, every year since I've been out of office. And I wish I could do it. I was going to work on, a budget message, even if I'm not giving it. That's how the first budget committee starts, is the budget officer presents. Basically, they provide the budget. And then here's some clarification. Commissioner Smith was saying that, you know, the board can't discuss the budget outside of the budget committee or what have you. That's a bunch of junk. You know, you're supposed to be talking about preparing the budget. The restriction comes the second that the budget is made public and available to the budget committee people cannot discuss the budget outside of a budget committee meeting, even if they're not a quorum, because there's six of them. There's three private sector and there's the Board of County Commissioners. Even if there's just two members of the board, two members of the public, it doesn't matter. If you're not in a budget meeting, you should not be discussing the budget with budget officers. And so that's the restriction. Up until then, there isn't one. You know, I would love to do it. I'm still going to probably draft a budget message, and maybe I just put it up online or something like that. But, you know, here's what my perspective is on the 2025-26 budget for Josephine County. And I think we did a good job. I think most of the managers, the challenge was getting those documents, you know, three weeks late, and them saying that they're draft. They're not draft. They're late. They were 2.5 weeks, 3 weeks late. You know, we had our first budget meeting scheduled for tomorrow. You know, Ruth and I had a lot of work to do to get that budget book together. And so, you know, it's not my fault that they handed me stuff that was wrong or late. And then when I brought it to their attention, they didn't deal with it or tell me it was wrong. They told me it's right. Yeah, we're moving forward. And I'm sorry that Ron was out of the loop on this, but that was his own doing. You know, he's the one who delegated all the authority to Andreas and Michael. It's like, hey, if you wanted to be in the loop on these things, you shouldn't have given up your authority.
All right. Also in that workshop, they were talking with Wally Hicks, the county attorney, talking about a breach of security. And they didn't name you specifically. Were they referring to you? And they were talking about possibly going to law enforcement and alleging, I think, a couple of misdemeanor times, a level 2 and a level 3 misdemeanors.
It seems so crazy that they're focused on the wrong thing. I mean, that's fine if that's where they want to go. But what do you talk about transparency of? How did that number get on that piece of paper? Where did that come from? I don't have the tech skills to do it. Everybody at the county has always known.
Did you remove anything that you weren't supposed to?
I don't think so.
All right.
Everything I saw was public.
Did you disclose anything that you weren't supposed to?
I don't think so. I don't think the public feels that way. You know, I think the public feels as though, gosh, I'm sure glad that guy gave us, you know, even my detractors. I think if they had the choice of having that information in their hand ahead of time, or what kind of scrutiny would I be getting if I just let it all go? And there was a contract signed by Andreas that obligated the county for 3 to 5 years and $1 million payout, you know, if the contract is breached. I think I'd be under a lot more scrutiny today if I had not said anything. And the way I did it needed to get some people's attention in a big way, because we're all so distracted every day. It's that nobody's been paying attention this long that the board felt like it could do this. So, yeah, I think, you know, it's not been positive for me. I really wished it wouldn't have gone this way, but it sure got some people's attention, and ultimately the 3 or 4 elements that I wanted to see accomplished were. So
I'm going right back to your letter right now, and I'm quoting here. On Friday, April 20th, myself and a respected witness brought this misguided fraud to Bleck's attention. My question is the word fraud.
It's totally accurate. Yeah, if what Andreas, we were led to believe in that meeting, that he was...
And that meeting was with, correct me if I'm wrong,
was with John West.
John West. Okay.
Yes. And so he's respected in my mind. There's people in the community that might differ on that, and I think they've been giving John West an unfair shake on... I've heard these statements about, like, he's just in it for himself. Show me one example that's been beneficial to John West, either fiscally, whatever. I don't understand how the guy's coming out of this, you know, with something people think. Like, his businesses are taking a tremendous hit because his focus is on the county. He spent $100,000 on this, that, and the other thing, legal bills, his campaign, and stuff like that. It's just, there's a lot of mess around that, but I don't feel like that guy's doing anything but trying to look out for the taxpayer in Josephine County. And so I brought him to that meeting because he's a respected person in our circles of these people who are trying to guide the county. And I don't think it's some good old boys club, because that clearly isn't working out. You know, I've never been part of it. And I don't know what they were expecting if this had an agenda of getting a contract for Michael, paying him this crazy salary. Who do they think I was? Was I just going to go along with this? That's odd to me.
I have a caller coming in.
Sure.
So good morning. You're on the air. Do you have a question for Simon?
Wait a second. Let me lower the radio.
Yeah, thank you. We don't like feedback here. We like feedback, but not electronic feedback.
Before I know that it's time for me to talk.
It is time.
Okay. I don't have a question. I have a statement to make. For one thing, I am very disappointed in those dumbasses that decided to
Excuse me, sir. I'm going to interrupt here right now, and I certainly welcome your opinion, but I will not tolerate any colorful language. Do we understand each other?
Okay, sorry about that.
Yes.
Anyway, I still think they were not too bright. They weren't too involved in making the decision to recall John West. I think he was really dedicated and devoted for doing the best thing he could for this county. And it's just too bad that I'm sure a small number of small-minded people, or maybe far liberal people, decided to convince everybody else that he was not doing anything for anybody but himself. Anyway, that's the end of my statement, and I feel sorry for John West, and I feel sorry for those dumb people that decided to vote his recall. Thank you. Goodbye.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you for your thoughts, comment.
I just think this brings up, like, I don't know why everything has to get so emotional and why people need to be so personal about these things. You know, Ron Smith said some pretty nasty things about me in the paper. I don't have anything nasty to say about Ron Smith or Chris Barnett or Michael Sellers or Andreas Bleck. I think they're guys that are a little bit misguided and they're not being transparent and honest and open about what's going on. And that's all I'm asking for is like, hey guys, let's just go back to the basics. What are you there for? Trying to help the people. Be fiscally frugal.
Footnote,
get the job done.
Mr. Smith did have a letter published where he sent an apology.
Yeah, he's got my phone number. He never sent me a text message or even a call. It's just like, you know what? Those are for the public, apparently. It's not for the relationship, you know. It's not for the person that you wronged, I guess. That's just the way I said it. I accept his apology, and I know it probably was in a heated moment or whatever he said. We all have those. I get it. But I wish we could just dial it down a little bit and not be so vitriol. Let's just get back to the basics and have transparent government and then make the decision in public and let everybody decide whether or not you're doing something nefarious or honest.
All right. Mr. Sellers, what now has been returned to his initial priorities? But you stated in your letter that he was in fact running with hiring and firing authority the county the early part of this year.
I don't know about hiring authority. I never saw an example of that, but I did see I didn't see, but I have it on good authority because I guess there's pending cases with the public health director and the community development director. One or both of those had a signature and salutation that reflected an interim operations manager position title from as Michael Sellers. And I just like, man, that you don't need to do that when you have a board chair who's been delegated all that authority. Just it just felt misguided and inappropriate.
That his signature was on termination notices?
Yeah, yeah. When you delegate the authority to the chair to do that, what does it say when you're delegating it to somebody else to have that? And I know that there's, you know, an objective of having separation and not the recourse of, what do they call that, retribution or retaliation or something like that. But Andreas hasn't been there that long. I don't know that, you know, I don't know what the legal argument is there for that, why that would have been done that way. Ultimately, the decision needed to be from Andreas anyway, so.
And we're not pointing, well, we are sort of pointing a finger at Andreas, just not in an accusing manner, but he's the chairman of the Board of County Commissioners and has not received a vote. He's been appointed to the position twice.
Right. Yeah, he's been sworn in as many times as I have.
Okay.
That's crazy. And I'm the only commissioner who served 8 years. I wish Dan would have made it. He just... silly thing, you know, and all the criticisms that people have, I don't have a lot of things that I did when I was on the board that I'd necessarily take back. I personally, I don't know where I would be today if I everything happens for a reason, and I don't look back with regret. I really don't. But I didn't have a lot of decisions I made while I was on the board that I really regret.
Commissioner Bleck stated in that workshop that the reorganization of the structure of the county has been going well, and it looks like there's significant savings realized, and there are just a few more things to do. Have there been significant savings realized?
I don't have an example of them at all. There were things that they could have done for savings, but I don't think they've been done so far. All of those people's payout, it was $633,000 from that voluntary resignation plan. The revenue to pay for that is going to be general fund. So it's out of your taxes. You know, it's just silly. Like, what could we have done with $630,000? All of those people, if they were underperforming, like I said in my letter, I'm pretty sure, there are ways to get rid of them for free. Like, why do you have to pay the airport director $50,000 to walk out the door if he was doing a substandard job? I don't understand that. I've let airport managers go. At one time, I let every manager we had go, except for two, Lisa Shipley in Veterans and Rob Brandis. Thought they were doing an okay job. And it's not that they're bad people sometimes. I'm going to pick on the parks director before Sarah Moy. Man, she was great. She just didn't know how to deal with a budget that was half of what she'd been historically used to. So when she had 30 employees and could do the job, she wouldn't have a clue how to do it when I gave her enough money to pay for 15. But you hire a new person, a younger person, somebody who's like, they don't know any different. I say, here's your staff, here's your money. And they go forward and they do the job. They figure out a way to do it. There's nothing wrong with that. It's just, you can do it in the right way, transparent. The full board approves of these kinds of measures of consolidating juvenile shelter in the corrections department. We used to do it that way in 2007. This board doesn't know that. I understand it was just kind of like an organic decision that Andreas made in a meeting. That's why you don't delegate the authority to make these huge structural changes to somebody, to just one person. The deliberation needs to be done in public. The decisions need to be done in public. And then the responsibility put at the feet who made them. And that's not the system that they were operating under for 55 days. And that was a real, real shortcoming. Our structure is set up in county government on purpose. It's well thought out. It's defended over decades of time. It may be cumbersome for those people who just newly got in there from the private sector, but that's government.
In this day and age, everybody has become a journalist, evidently. I have a question here that came from Jay Meredith and his BCC Weekly newsletter. The county's former budget officer said he was approached to serve in a similar role to the federal DOGE program. That's Department of
Government Efficiency.
Government Efficiency.
Yes.
Is this true? And are you still considering contracting or hiring for that purpose? And if true, why do you see it as being necessary?
Oh, it absolutely be interested, but I think they put me on some kind of blacklist at the county, so I don't think that contract's coming, at least under this board. Look, Chuck, I've been doing this for 15, 20 years. I love it. It is the thing I'm probably most passionate about besides my girlfriend and the woman I'm going to marry. It's what I think about every day on the hour of ways to make Josephine County more efficient, better to serve the public, and it not coming from taxpayer-funded purposes. I don't want to be on the board. I never want to be on the board again. I hope everybody can hear that. I don't want to. I never did. I never wanted to in the first place. Nobody could run against, you know, my predecessor, Dave Toler, and beat him. I felt his perspective on timber management was terrible, and I came to find out he really wasn't that good of a county manager. He was running us fiscally into the ground, him and Dwight Ellis. And Sandy was just there trying to say no at every turn, not even knowing why. She was on the right side. She was saying, no, you don't have the money. You can't spend it. And so, no, Chuck, I never want to be back on the board again. I don't want to run for the position. I don't want to be appointed to the position. But I look around. We all look around. Who's able to do it, step in day one, and can do the job and doesn't need to be shown where the restroom is, or you need to dial 9 to get out of the courthouse? Hopefully that's clarity. I would ideally like a position. And I told Andreas Beck this. I was like, man, I don't even want to get paid. I would love to do it for free to help the county in an administrative coaching type of position. No staff. I want nobody working for me. I don't even want a secretary. I can make my own copies. I can do all that stuff myself. All I want to do is sit here and give you some backstory. And here are the three options. You guys pick the best options, but here's all the information and it's objective. I don't have a dog in the fight. I'm just telling you, here's what it is. That's my ideal situation. And I'm going to go do that to other counties. I already do talk to other county commissioners from across the state who are like, we got this problem here, Simon. What do we do? Give me 24 hours. I'll think about it. I'll look into it. I'll research it and I'll give you some options. I'm working with Klamath County right now on some things that they want to do. And, I got solutions.
All right, you have called for the Board of Commissioners to resign.
Well, do these things or resign. And so they have done these things, and hopefully they can, you know, live out the balance of their terms in good standing with the citizens in a transparent fashion and serve honorably in that position. So
I'm going to quote from your letter.
Yeah.
Okay. Bleck must be held to account for breaking public trust. He needs to be pressured to resign or face recall immediately. Barnett and Smith should be pressured daily to resign instead of making the voters go through a lengthy and expensive recall process or a petition filed on June 6th.
I think I got the date wrong. I thought it was 6 months from the date of being sworn in. It is 6 calendar months after, so apparently it's been told to me that it will be in July. That is the first opportunity. That's up to the voters. So it's above my pay grade, as I always say.
Do you stand by that assertion that they should all resign?
I sure haven't seen any example of how they've kind of like learned their lesson since this has been. You know, they're talking about litigating to a contractor in public session. That's an executive session provision. Why are you exposing the county to potential litigation and a tort claim on? Damn it! It just doesn't. They keep. You know, Ron Smith going on a radio show and talking about the budget process. He has no idea what he's talking about. You know, like they keep, I won't have to do anything else. The public will weigh in. I won't get involved in a recall. I won't have anything to do with those kinds of things. But the public has been, the lion is awake. And they're going to find out, watching them every day, whether or not they're serving in the best interest of the citizens. And they'll make that decision.
Now, I don't have any documentation, but I have heard that should they all resign, you would be willing to be appointed to the Board of County Commissioners.
I said that in an interview.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I've been sitting back and watching the Board of Commissioners for the last 6.5 years make silly decisions that are not well thought out. Like, I'm going to go, Herman, forgive me, Senator Bearchigger, former commissioner, giving up the Sportsman's Park from a liability standpoint is the silliest thing I've ever heard. Do you know where liability ultimately lands? Back at the county. They walk away from their nonprofit status if they had some sort of terrible catastrophe up there. What we did is we gave up the authority to guide any kind of administration with how that Sportsman's Park is being used because we no longer own it. But we own the liability. So don't think for a second, taxpayers, that we skirted anything long term with giving up that piece of property. And we gave up the whole thing. It's a 160-acre piece of property. We could have parceled out 80 or 40 or whatever lot size is required for the Sportsman's Park and kept the balance of that property. That's one example of 100 different things that have not been well thought out that I think with a little bit of coaching from somebody who's been there and understands a little bit of these topics and conversations, I just want to help in any capacity. And so, yeah, I'm open to anything that helps us run better as a county.
You mentioned former Commissioner Herman Bearchigger, people have asked about the relationship between Bearchigger and Sellers, and when Sellers was working both for Bearchigger and for the county at the same time. Was that an error? Was that just a misjudgment?
I don't know. I don't know. I really haven't followed. There's just been a lot of rumors around Mr. Sellers' employment history and who he was working for. If half of it is true, it sounds like a lot, you know, doing multiple full-time positions. But, hey, that's up to his employers. It's not up to me. I don't know. I don't know anything about that stuff. That's not my area of expertise.
All right. This came from a listener. Why did the ONC board say we received more money this year than last year, and the BCC is claiming we didn't get any money? Do you have an answer for that one?
Sure. The BCC doesn't know what they're talking about. You know, I trust Doug Roberts, who served on Douglas County's Board of Commissioners for 33 years and is the director of the ONC Counties Association. It's 100% true. You know, we were on secure rural schools up until this year, and that appropriation is set by Congress, and it's sometimes subject to there's a plowback of 5% or something like that. But ONC dollars are different. And we got, I think it was $3.3 million. So the justification for the employee voluntary resignation plan was lack of secure rural schools funding. Well, the substitute for that is shared receipts. And that ended up being more money. So what are you talking about? There isn't a revenue shortfall. Will there be in the future? Quite possibly. But to do an ill-conceived plan like that didn't actually save any money, because they rehired the airport manager. They're going to have to hire a finance manager. All these positions, there were 18. I got to understand they gave Jim Goodwin that voluntary resignation like plan or whatever, how that settlement package was. I don't think they gave that to Rob. Is the county at liability because they're picking and choosing what managers after their voluntary resignation plan has sunsetted? this just seems like they make silly decision after silly decision, putting the county at a lot of risk. You know, you and I don't get to see how many lawsuits are before the county. They're in executive session, and if they're settled, our insurance company pays them, but then the rate just goes up. We have city-county insurance, and you and I don't see that. So they could be settling big cases for stupid things, not holding them to account, and they just actualize it in the rate that every program pays.
All right, just for clarity here,
I know I could talk. Sorry.
We're essentially out of time, but I'm going to stretch it here just a little bit longer, just to clarify for our listeners here, what would happen if all three county commissioners resigned at the same time?
That's a really good question, and we've never had to deal with that before, but having a resignation from Dwight Ellis and then Sandy getting recalled in my first year, that was the worst year ever. So it says in the charter that a committee formed by the other elected officials, there's six of which, the DA is a state elected official, so he doesn't get to participate. So there's six of them. They would solicit applications. They have 30 days to do this. They have to fill those positions to get a quorum. They have to solicit applications. They pick from those six members, pick a commissioner. Then a group of those elected officials, including that newly appointed commissioner, making seven to settle a tie, select an additional commissioner from the applicants. Those two then go as a quorum of the board, and they select the third commissioner. And so that's how they would fill the board. They would probably get 40, 50 applications at least. That's how many we got when Dwight quit and Sandy resigned. And there might be really good qualified people in there, but I don't really
see. Who is in charge in that 30 days?
That's a good question.
Well, sometimes I ask good questions.
Nobody's ever asked that question.
All right, well, maybe we'll see. Maybe we'll find out.
See, in that I could come back and do a whole hour on Wally Hicks versus, because he's the only elected in the entire nation legal counsel. So he's not the board's legal counsel. He's yours. He's everybody's. He's the staff's. He's the elected officials. He's the citizens. He's everybody's legal counsel. So
is he being misused by the commission?
I think they put him as kind of like a backstop to that whole contract negotiation conversation as far as, oh, it would have to go before Wally, of course, you know. Okay.
That's essentially what they said in the last workshop.
Where's that written, you know? And couldn't the board change that? I mean, Andreas was in charge of everything. He doesn't have to do that at all. And there's nothing Wally can do. Wally doesn't work for the board, and the board doesn't work for Wally. So I told Wally when he first got elected, when Steve Rich was his predecessor, you know, I didn't know Wally that well, but it wouldn't matter. You could get a Dale Matthews, because I can talk about him, because God rest his soul. He tried to run for legal counsel, and Georgette Brown said, no, man, you're not qualified. You don't have a law degree. But say, for instance, some cantankerous style person did have a law degree, and they did run for office, and they did get elected. The board has the discretion to be like, we don't have to provide you an office. We don't have to provide you a staff. Your office is out there on the park bench. Not to that extent. They would probably never do that, but they could, you know. And if the elected officials compensation committee said, yeah, this guy's not qualified, he's not serving the county, blah, blah, blah.
Well, Wally has a staff with him, doesn't he?
He does.
Yes.
At the behest of the board.
Yes.
So they don't have to provide him that.
All right. We're getting a little far afield.
I know. I'm sorry. That always happens.
But I want to thank you for your time today. And I'm sorry we don't have more time. We may do it again, depending on what else happens here.
Gosh, I hope this just goes kind of like away. You know, that's what I would really like, is it's accomplished. The board has their authority back. The electeds do. Michael doesn't have this big contract. And I don't have anything personal against these people. Ron, Chris, Andreas, Michael. Gosh, I think in their own mind, they're probably trying to do the right thing. It's just not the way to do it.
All right. Thank you very much, Simon Hare, here on KAJO Radio. Thank you very much for listening. Stay tuned. More to come right here at 1270 Radio, 99.7 FM.